Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're on the 39th part of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is tape or CD number 141, or you could call it program 141, and at the end of the broadcast we're going to show you or tell you how you would be able to get a copy of the tape or CD of this program absolutely free. You can get yourself a Bible if you don't have one, and literature, and a copy of my Messiah book if you like, and it's in many languages. But we have some letters here, one from Mexico and a couple of them from different parts of Africa. But right now, let's go up to the throne to ask our Lord and Savior to anoint this service, to anoint me outwardly. And let, Father, we ask that you, I ask that you anoint me, pour out your Spirit, let it flow from your throne in heaven, let it cascade down into me, and use my mouth, Lord, to say the things that you once said in this program. So many people pray, but they don't pray enough, and they don't pray in faith believing. Therefore, they, Lord, they just don't believe. Maybe they've done something in their life that they don't believe that you're going to answer them anyway or hear them. But those kind of people need to get to your throne and ask for the blood of Jesus to be doused upon them, for them to be washed in your precious blood. If they've done sins unto death, well, we know after they've been saved that if they do sins unto death, I pray not for these kind of people, but those that have not done sins unto death, they need to get a hold of you and believe that you are a merciful God and a God that forgives, and that your blood takes and makes a person whiter than snow. We know that when your seed is in us, that we cannot sin. So many people are sitting in churches today, Father, and they're not even saved, because saving means that their heart has been circumcised and that you, Jesus, the seed, have been sown into their spirits, and that you're alive in their spirits. And the eternal life is there, and they become resurrected from the dead, just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a whale, or a great fish, and then was vomited out. You, Lord, were in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then hell had to give you up, because you our God, and there's no way. You paid the full penalty for us. We should have gone there, and we would be there if it weren't for you coming into the world, Father God, as a man, having real human blood and a human body. You were the Son of Man, and also you had your Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily living in you. And Lord, we're asking you that you, with your Spirit, you conquered everything. And we ask that the words that you put in my mouth today conquer everything in human beings, that all their problems or the things that they think cannot happen because of prayer, that they that you somehow give me the words, Lord, by your power, to give them the confidence, the assurance that when they pray, if they pray sincerely in faith believing, that you will hear them and answer them and show them great and mighty things. But a person that has a prayerless life does not have an overcoming life. Because we have to pray to be saved. We have to ask to be healed. We have to ask for everything that we receive from you. You say, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find. Lord, we are seeking. We are asking, we're knocking, Lord. Save souls and give power unto your two witnesses. Give power unto the church. Give power unto those that have no power, Lord. Those that are sitting in churches that are not circumcised in heart, let them open their hearts and receive you in as the seed of God that smashes Satan's head. Your heel was wounded, but your heel shall smash Satan's head, and you did. And in us, we are more than conquerors to do everything with your presence in us. We are able to do anything that you tell us to do. We are able to pray. There's a force in the universe that attempts to cause us to not pray. A force that discourages us to pray. It is the satanic force of the spirit of Satan in the world. But we know, Lord, that if we persevere, if we believe your word, it's such an easy thing to pray. All people have to do is to say, Father in heaven, I feel that I've sinned so much that I'm afraid to approach you, Father in heaven. But I need your power. I've been sitting in the churches all these days and years, and I haven't had the power in me. Circumcise my heart, Lord. Pierce me. Enter me, my spirit, with your word, which is the double-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than the flint that they sharpened in the wilderness to circumcise the children of Israel, the young ones. And Lord, let it circumcise my heart, because circumcision no longer is of the flesh, but is of the spirit, the heart. Lord, enter my heart. Enter me. Pierce through it. Cut my heart, Lord, and live in me the seed of the Almighty God, the seed that causes me to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, that the church may be edified, that souls by the hundreds of millions be saved. Lord, we ask it, that you do this today in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where's the first letter from?
This is from Cameroon, Africa.
Okay.
Hello, Pastor Lamo. Thank you for the work you are facilitating for us in the spreading of the pure gospel by sending free publications.
Oh, just thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he says, all right, you know, you can thank people and give them credit, because give double honor to those that rule well in the word. Amen?
Amen.
And ruling well in the word is just doing what the Lord says. And we can't do anything for the Lord unless he's living in us. Amen?
Amen.
He has to be in there, the seed of God that keeps growing and growing, just as the seed grows in the earth when we sow it in. We don't know how, except we know that we should water it. And by hearing the word of God, that's like watering Christ in you with the Father. And he grows. And he grows and grows. And the more he grows, that seed grows in you, the more power you'll have to be able to withstand and to come against this negative force of Satan that is discouraging people from praying, because prayer is the most powerful tool that we have to defeat Satan in every way. We need to pray to God. Ask him. Lord, tell him he knows all about you anyway. You just say, Lord, you know my weaknesses and everything, and I need you to enter me, to pierce into me and give me your Holy Spirit, which is holding the whole universe up. And give me that power in me, Lord, to not sin. Give me the power, your power in me to turn away from sin, turn away from lusts, turn away from the things of this world. Lord, give that to me. It's so easy to just say that, isn't it? Amen?
Amen.
He knows all about you, and so no point trying to hide him. It's better to approach the throne of God than just sit there and let Satan give you despair. Wouldn't you think that's better?
Amen. Amen.
So why don't you pray? Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you pray and ask if you're sitting there broke? Well, why don't you do what the Lord says, you know? Get some of this literature, distribute it around your neighborhood or wherever you work, and so that God can see you doing something for him. Don't let the devil mesmerize you or paralyze you with this spiritual evil force that's in the world today. Don't gravitate towards the violence and the filth in the world, but gravitate towards the Lord. Let him live in you, okay? Now, the Lord could not be, a person that's bringing the messages of the Lord and living a godly life. There's no way, if they don't have the Lord in, that they could be saying the things that I'm saying. Amen?
Amen.
And doing the things that I've been doing in the people of this church. Now, there's some people in my own church that are sitting in here that are not saved, because I've got churches all over the world. The Lord has given me an opportunity to minister to pastors all over the world. And what I'm saying is, you people have to pay strict attention to your children in the church, because they're the new generation coming up. And if they're not pierced in their heart, if they don't have the seed of God in them, there isn't anything that's more important than ministering to your congregation, taking care of your young ones come into the church, your own children, for heaven's sakes, to take care of them. Make sure that they are ministered to and that they see Christ living in you. It isn't a situation of dictatorship or anything like that. We lead people to the Lord by allowing the Lord to live in us and showing his mercy and gentleness and kindness, but not towards Satan. We are just able to... People see God in you. They see Jesus in you when you... There's every kind of satanic activity going on around you, and you just take power and dominion over it. It's like Jesus did. He threw the money changers out of the temple, turned their tables upside down. When there are people in your church that are throwing stumbling blocks into the gospel, this is satanic, and you are not going to be kind to something like that. The kindness that you show them is say, you just let them know that you're not going to put up with that sort of stuff. All right? Or people that, like for instance, I've had people in my office where they would leave faxes laying around for 3 and 4 days and emails and everything else, and this is like infuriating to me. It's a righteous indignation that enters into me, because it shows me that they have no concern for the needs of the people that are sending the faxes, the emails into me. And some of them are there. It's very important. And a lot of things, like a person will be doing something for me, for the church, and they'll want some money to be sent down immediately today because they have to pay for studio time or something, and they don't even tell me. And that makes me look as though I'm not interested in paying the bill, or that I'm just, I don't have a staff that that is interested in the Lord, or that I'm a bad leader, and that I didn't instruct them to make sure that we take care of people's needs. When I was in prison for 4 years for the gospel, I came back to the office, and there was things that had been laying there for 4 years, which showed me that these people that were in the office at that time didn't care anything about the human needs and the spiritual needs of the people in the congregation. And I see the very same people in the church. The Lord told me to have he tells me to be patient with them and to just keep preaching messages into them. And since that time, which has been about 8 years ago, many people have repented and have become workers in the church, and they understand now the things that they did wrong, and they've repented for it, and they're doing a work for the Lord now. But there are still some that have not, this message has not reached them yet. The Lord hasn't reached them. He's like, the Lord is so far removed from them that he is not I don't believe he's living in them at all. Because when the Lord is living in you, he says, he's come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, or Sabbath, rest from whatever it is that you're thinking about all day long. In many cases, it could be that you're not thinking of anything, but rest from whatever you're thinking about. A lot of people's minds are Satan, with his spirit, is a force that is against concentrating on the Lord, and this force that is coming to stop them from praying, or what's the use? My mind is on the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. There's so much. You know, like I have a lot of things going that are pertaining to business, because I help out the business people in the church for them to know how to conduct business, and I give them expert advice in regard to how to deal with certain people in business, and there's some of them are quite successful in it. And yet I know that I have to spend time with the people of the church, and the churches are all over the world, and I need these emails read to me because I am legally blind and I can't do it. And I suffer from a lack of people that are interested in the dealing that the Spirit of God deals with the people that are in need, that are seeking for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And that's what the scripture means when Jesus is talking to the people, telling them that greater than Solomon is standing here, because Solomon asked to have the wisdom and the ability to be able to deal with the children of God, the people of Israel. And he says, I'm greater than that, because when I enter you, if I'm really living in you, then I'm greater than Solomon, because I have given you eternal life, and I'm in you, and I want you to allow me. I want you to get up when faxes come in, emails come in, whenever there's something that needs to be done. I want you to get it together and present it to Tony, so that Tony, who has the wisdom of Solomon, has got greater than the wisdom of Solomon living in him. Amen? Yeah, Jesus said he's greater than the wisdom of greater than Solomon, because he really, if people are giving themselves entirely over to the Lord, he's caring for the whole body of Christ, which is even greater than the children of Israel back then. Amen?
Amen.
So he's greater than Solomon. Solomon says, oh, I'm going to take care of all the people of Israel if you give me the wisdom. So because of the fact that Solomon didn't ask for money, the Lord made him the richest man on the face of the earth and made him wiser than anybody else, so that he could deal with people. And some of the people, he had the wisdom and knowledge that one of his brothers wanted to have one of his wives. And so he had the wisdom, you know, to just get rid of that guy. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of him, because it came out of his mouth that that's what he wanted to do. So there's wisdom on knowing who to get out of the church, and wisdom to know who to minister in the church. This is wisdom greater than Solomon's. I mean, because Solomon failed. He wasn't wise enough to know that he wasn't supposed to take wives that were from foreign countries, the heathens, and they caused him to worship idols. And so there is a greater than Solomon living in me, because I'm not going to worship idols, amen?
Amen.
And I'm not going to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I'm not going to allow people to be in this church that don't are not letting a person wiser than Solomon live in. That person is Jesus, with his Father by the Spirit. If you're not interested in the body of Christ, then he who is greater than Solomon is not living in you. Amen?
Amen?
And there's no possible way that you could do a work of the Lord, and what you're doing is just living in the church, sponging off of it. Now, I'm not saying for you to be discouraged if you know that you're one of those people. What I'm saying, don't get me wrong, is I'm saying repent and believe the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
And start being used by the Lord. Well, I know what I've done, says so. You just let this force of Satan come to you and tell you, yeah, I know, but I've done so much that the Lord will never forgive me. The Lord is extremely merciful if you want to start pressing into the kingdom of heaven on the straight and narrow way. And so no longer are we involved in justification by faith. We know we have that. That's one stage. But this era of justification by faith and just living in justification by faith, that era, we still have that. But it's happened, that era was kind of over with around 400 or 500 years ago. And then we came into the Pentecostal movement, which is about 75 to 100 years ago. I mean, we had that on the day of Pentecost, but it went away for a while, and then all of a sudden here it comes back. And so if that's what you're just living in, this I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a or any denomination, that isn't where it is, friend. Where it is today is that we have justification by faith, we have the Pentecostal experience, we have greater than Jonah living in us, because he's symbolic of Christ's resurrection, but Christ is the resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
We have a greater than Solomon living in us, because Solomon tried to take care of all his duties, but he failed. But we've got one living in us that's greater than Solomon, because if we let him live in us and work in and through us, then we know that the things will be accomplished in a manner that is greater than Solomon, because it's the Lord doing the work instead of us. We have the resurrection in us. We have the Sabbath in us. We have he who said, come unto me and I'll give you rest, or Sabbath. And we have that Sabbath and rest from all of our former days, the labors that we used to do before we were saved. And therefore, and we have the anointing. My cup runneth over. Amen. I can be letting the Lord speak through me right now, and the Spirit makes sense. Amen.
Amen.
It makes it ministers to you, and it pierces into you if you'll let Him. If you'll not say to Him like the rich man, say, "Well, I have great wealth, and therefore I can't leave all that I have and come and serve you, and then I'll have riches in heaven, which will far surpass any riches that I have today." Now, it's harder, the Lord said, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, but with God all things are possible. Like, the Lord could bless me with all the money in the world, and I would still bring these messages, because I know that riches can fly away, earthly riches, and they can't do us any good on the day of our death. And if you're serving the Lord on a daily basis, if He's if you're allowing Him to live in you and work through you, then the day of your death is better than the day of your birth, because when your body dies, well, then your spirit will be in the kingdom of heaven and it'll be locked in there forever. And so all the riches, see, the Lord says that we're co-owners of everything that He owns. And so you can't get any richer than that. Amen?
Amen?
So if you're looking for wealth, forget your wealth that you have here. Don't be like the rich man that was sad, you know, and walked away and because he just was so into worldly riches that he lost his own soul. And here the Savior that was healing people all over the land, everyone that would come to him would be healed. He knew that he was the good master, that he was the Lord, but he didn't want to follow the wisdom that was greater than Solomon and give up what he had to serve the Lord. Now, thank God that God gave me that kind of wisdom, because I had quite a few things going in the world before I got saved. But when the Lord showed me that he really was alive and that he was well and that he was intelligent and that he knew everything that I was doing and that he threatened me that if I didn't get up and tell the people in the world about Jesus and that he's coming back to earth again, that I would surely die and go to hell. What good would any riches that I had or could have had do me if I went to hell? You're not even going to take one penny into heaven or hell with you. You're not even going to take anything with you. Because once you die, everything that you have is going to go to somebody else. But not if you lay away your treasures in heaven. If you let him that is the resurrection and the life, the one that's greater than Jonah, live in you. And if you let the one who is greater than Solomon live in you, and you take care of the church and your children and your family, and there's one greater than the temple. He says, there's one greater than the temple. Amen. I'm greater than the temple. But why is that? Because the temple could get torn down by Titus, you know. But you can't tear Jesus down. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're going to live in him forever and ever and ever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, he lives in us, and we're going to fade away, but we're still, by his Spirit, we're fused into him, and we're locked into the kingdom of heaven, into our temple, which is Christ in heaven, and no one's going to tear that temple down. Amen?
Amen.
So he's greater than the temple in Israel, right?
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
And so we have him. We have the resurrection, the life, the one greater than the temple, one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon. We've got the Sabbath. We've got everything. This is not just Pentecostalism. This is the everything Christ, is what I'm trying to say. Amen?
Amen.
Do you understand? We've got everything. We are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns the entire universe. And what more could God do for you than to rescue you out of hell, from hell, and from your own works, and let his work is easy and gentle. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to take care of you got to let him that is wise, wiser than Solomon and greater than Solomon, greater than the temple, greater than the rest of Jonah, all these things. He's the resurrection of life. He's the Sabbath. Amen?
Amen.
And he's everything. He's your food, water. He's your air. He's your temple. You got to let him work in you. All right? So let him. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's read the rest of this letter here. There's something in there that triggered me off on this.
May God bless you more and more, as well as all of your staff. Dear Pastor, I must tell you that I read your literature regularly, for I've been completely consecrated to the work of God for 15 years. Afterwards, the Bible Institute...
Okay. Now there's a lot of people consecrated to the work of God. There's so many, I know, pastors and evangelists and ministers that work and work, and they're just... they're just wiped out at the end of the day. But, that shouldn't be, because the Lord said his work is easy and light. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're letting him, if you just are not working of your own strength, but you're allowing the Lord to tell you where to work and when to rest, you know, then it's a light work and an easy work. Like, I could, I know that every day I ask the Lord, what should I say? What should I do? Anoint me. Because You know, I would be worn out trying to figure out what the Lord would want me to say. I would be worn out to a frazzle if I was, I want to go down into a mission and I want to do it. He says, no, send Brother Dave down there to do that today, and send Sister so-and-so over to this place today. Have someone bring the packages over today. I can't do everything, amen? We're a unit, we're a body of people, and we have to be led by the Lord to know how to dictate, let the Lord dictate to us who he wants to do this and who he wants to do that, and every day, so that we are not worn out to a frazzle, and so that we're able to be happy in the Lord, resting in the Sabbath, resting in him, letting him lead us, guide us, direct us, and tell us who to help doing this thing or that. Now, there's some people that don't help at all. And those are the ones that the Lord is after. There's some people that are busy. Like we had some children in the church that were busy trying to listen to secular music and rap music and things like this. But they need to have the Spirit of the Lord living in them, because I don't allow that in the church. Now, there's a lot of churches that do, and they could go to those kind of churches if they like. But I want for the Lord to have a church here on earth that is practical, and for practical living, and for holy living, and for the Lord living in us. I'm not going to be preaching Pentecostalism. I'm preaching Christ living in you, and Christ working in you, and Christ. You know, so many people are just saying, "Only come to my church. Only come to my church." Only. Forget the all these different denominations. Just get into the Lord, will you? Okay, because the denominations are not going to save your soul. Only the Lord will. Amen.
Amen.
Let him live and work in you. So we're living in the time now where we have all these different phases or degrees or levels of Christ. And I just mentioned several of the levels, and all those have to be in you. And you must be concerned about not yourself, but to letting the Lord work in you and through you so that he can be the wise one, as Solomon wanted to minister to the children of Israel. This is what was on Solomon's heart, and because this pleased the Lord so much that he wanted to take care of the people of Israel, in other words, the church, then God gave him all the riches and everything greater than anybody on the face of this earth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so if you're interested in the human souls in the church, in the body of Christ, and those that are seeking the Lord, and that you don't ignore it and let these faxes and emails stack up in my office to the point to where there's days go by. I want these faxes and emails into me immediately so I can respond immediately to people that are in need. Because many of the children in the churches all over the world are committing suicide because they're not pierced. The Lord, the seed of God, has not entered into them. And they are not saved, and they have no power of God in them. They don't have the one that's wiser than Solomon. They don't have the resurrection greater than the resurrection of Jonah. They don't have him who is greater than the temple living in them. They don't have him who is the wiser and the one that's interested in ministering to the church. And if they were interested in ministering to the church, they wouldn't be thinking of rap music, amen?
Amen.
Or, flirting with different people in the church, or wearing overly made up and wearing clothing that is not befitting a Christian woman or man. And they'd be thinking of the Lord. That's what the Lord wants. He's concerned not about Pentecostalism or all these other items that people are thinking about in the church. Christ is interested in himself, okay, and his body. Amen?
Amen.
He's the head and he's also the body. He's the temple. He's the everything. And so he wants everybody to be included into him so that they, with him, can have eternal life and have life more abundantly right here on earth. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now let's hear the rest of this man's letter.
Afterwards, I attended the Bible Institute in Idia of Cameroon.
See, that doesn't mean, don't worry about the institute. Worry about being in Christ, amen?
Amen.
The institute, there's no life there. Christ is our life, amen?
Amen.
He's our everything. Get into the Lord. John the Baptist, did he go to that institute? Amen. Or any other of the disciples?
No.
No, they just fishermen. They just came, went with the Lord. Okay, then what?
Later I went to CFBP under the supervision of an elder shepherd.
CFBT, whatever that is. If I were you, I'd go with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Go with Jesus. Go to the institution of Jesus. Right? Just go with the Lord. The one greater than Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
Greater than the temple. Greater than Jonah. Because he's a resurrection. He's alive. He's a Sabbath. He's the everything Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just get saved. Let the Spirit, the seed of God, enter you. And live according to the Word. That's your institute. Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus. Okay, then what?
Our work is completely new, for God warned us to not join with the interdenominational fightings, which disgrace the work and the entire Church of Jesus Christ.
Right. The Church of Jesus Christ is Jesus in you. That's the Jesus, that's the Church. We are the Church. We're living in the Church age now. We're not living in the Pentecostal age or the... you're justified by faith. We are justified by faith. And so by faith, you live in the temple, the greater than the temple in Christ. You live in him greater than Solomon. You let him live in you, and you live in him greater than Jonah. He is the resurrection, the life, the Sabbath, everything. Live in him, okay? Forget about these interdenominational and all these different segments of denominations. It doesn't mean anything. Have Christ in you. Amen. Okay, then what?
This obedience to God's voice merited us the dispossession of all the existing infrastructure we had in common.
There you go. Then what?
I've read in nearly all your bulletins that you offer accommodations and all that is necessary to those who completely consecrate themselves to the work.
To all those that allow the Lord to work in and through them. Amen?
Amen.
The ones that let Jesus live in them. And if you don't want to live it here at the church, then be a distributor wherever you're at, or we'll furnish you with all the literature and Bibles and all that. Because the Lord has blessed us. Amen?
Amen.
Not with, just with whatever it takes to get the thing up. We might not be able to send you as many as you might want, but we'll keep a steady flow of literature and books, the Messiah books and Bibles coming to you. All right, then what else?
Can we also benefit from this offer, or is it only for those in the United
States? Oh, no, it's for everybody in the world. You're from China, Japan, you're from Israel, from England, Ireland, anywhere. Come on. Come on down. Amen. Then what?
Moreover, your ministry is for me the model we must copy for spiritual reasons.
Well, we must not copy. We must be let the Lord live in us. It's not an imitation. We're not to imitate him. We're to let him, the real him, not the imitation him, but the real him, live in us. Amen?
Amen.
So because without him living in us, we're not going to have the heart to want to minister to the church and to the young Christians that come in and to our children. But Christ wants the little children to come unto him. Amen? For
Amen.
Such is the kingdom of God. Amen? Because these little children really believe. And if you get to them early, they're not going to want to listen to rap music, and they're not going to want to get into sexual promiscuity. They're going to have the one that's greater than Solomon living in. They're going to want to minister to people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Your publications show me that you are a courageous man like John the Baptist before Herod.
Well, actually, I'm the biggest coward in the world because I'm afraid of God. But if you fear God, you don't have to be afraid of anyone else. So a lot of people get it into their head that you're courageous. No, it's just that I have so much fear of God. I don't fear anybody else because I know I have faith in the Word of God that He said, when the breath goes out of my body, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me, that I also will raise from the dead and I'll live in heaven forevermore. So I don't dread that. I don't dread my body dying. Because if it does, and when it does, I mean, maybe I'll be here when the Lord comes back. If not, when it dies, I'm going to be right there with Him, so I'm not worried about that. And it may seem that I'm courageous, but it's the Lord that's in me that is courageous, and I am so fearful of Him that I don't dare do anything that He doesn't like, okay? So I'm, again, the biggest coward in the world to God. And that's what you fear. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. You'll read that at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible. Ecclesiastes was, of course, those of you that know, was written by King Solomon, the wisest man in the world at that time. The one that feared God the most until he stopped fearing God. Then he became stupid. God gives you all this knowledge, and if you don't use it, then you have the wisdom. And if He gives you the fear, you have the wisdom. But if you lose that fear, and you think, well, because I've done so much good works, and God knows my heart, I'm just a little lamb and all this kind of stuff, and I'm going to let my light shine, and you're trying to get into heaven some other way than just letting the Lord come into you, and the seed of God, which is the Word, just keep building Him up in you until you get to the fullness of the stature of Christ, full maturity, so that He can really work and live in you. You got to know the Word of God in order for that to happen. And you better start now, because this world is at the end. It's at the end. And you don't have much time. If you get saved today, you got into the Lord just under the wire. Just at the finish line here, you ought to consider yourself extremely fortunate. Amen?
Amen.
Because He's standing at the door right now, ready to come. And you do well to heed what He's saying in me and through me to you. It's for you. Okay, then what? Because I'm already saved. This is for you. Okay, then what?
You are a courageous man like John the Baptist before Herod, tied to the truth.
Yeah, John was scared of the Lord too. That's why he did what he did. He feared the Lord. Any of the prophets feared God. Any of the disciples, you know, feared God except Judas. But then he, after doing what he did, then he feared exceedingly, but it was too late. The Bible tells us that it would be better that he had never been born, because he's suffering an entire eternity, which is forever. It never ends. Pain and suffering. Same thing with anyone that misses the mark. The mark is to get into heaven. If you miss that mark, there's only one other place for you to go, and that's in the bottomless pit into hell, the lake of fire. Then what?
Help me also to come to that as well, for we must reprimand openly the mafia acts of our nations.
Well, let the Lord do it though. Okay? I allow the Lord to do that through me, for the purpose of ministering to them, because the Lord tells me and you, if you read the Bible, that He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And so we reprove and we rebuke, not because we hate, but because it's the Lord's intention that the things that He says in and through us will win their souls, and they'll quit what they're doing, just as the Apostle Paul did, and so many other barbaric type people, such as myself, before I was saved around 41 and a half years ago. Okay, and then what else?
I ask you to send us Bibles if possible, for we have a great lack of them.
Oh, it's possible. It's possible. Send them. I don't know how many they need, but send at least a dozen or two dozen to them. whatever their need is. Then what else?
Send also the following bulletins, Earthquake, Affection, Another Pearl Harbor. For the gift you offer, I prefer the T-shirt extra large. I would have asked for more than 5 for all of my group, but I will limit myself until you offer them.
Well, we're offering them. If they're evangelizing, if they're on the streets distributing literature, they can have one too. Just give me their sizes, all right? And I'll, or give them to our shipping department, and they'll ship them out to you right away. Then what?
Once again, may God bless you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your brother in Christ, Najam, from Cameroon, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, this next letter looks pretty long, and we're going to have to get into the message. This one from Mexico?
Yes.
Okay, let's try to make it through here so I have some time to do the... I'm always talking about the Lord living in you anyway, amen?
So amen.
Even though it's not something that I wrote before, it's something that just comes out, amen?
Amen.
I have no control. I don't want to control it. Okay, I want the Lord to control what's said in these broadcasts. Then what?
Dear sir, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May He richly bless you and guide you in your great work. Pastor Lama, we've been in communication with your ministry about going to Mexico on a permanent basis and starting an Alamo Christian ministry. Our heart is with the Mexican people, and we spend as much time as possible in Mexico witnessing and spreading the word of Christ. It is a daunting task, for our neighbors south of the border number just over 100 million, and 95% of them are Catholic, trusting Rome and its seated Antichrist for their salvation. The other 5% are in almost as bad a predicament. Although they have been converted from Catholicism, they are now waiting on a non-existent rapture or some other heresy.
Right. That is, the Lord says He's going to come and get us immediately after the tribulations, all right? So gear up for it. You can get strong. You know, don't sit here waiting for the Lord to take you out, especially if you're not allowing Him to work in and through you. And if you're not doing it, it's probably because He's not living in you. And so just let Him enter you. He won't hurt you. He wants to help you. He won't, if you're not saved, if you don't have Him living in you, then you're dead. And He'll make you alive. I'm not preaching death. I'm preaching life. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is the life. Amen?
Amen.
So let Him enter in and give you life and this joy and happiness that we have and this overcoming power that we have to overcome death, hell, and the grave, sin, Satan, and the world, all the lusts of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let Him give you victory. I mean, why live in defeat? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Pastor Lama, we simply do not have the resources to make an impact of any magnitude. We desperately need to work with you on a scheduling to move to Mexico, which will have broad, long-range results.
Oh, well. Hopefully, this is a pretty long letter, and so they're asking for help, and we have been helping them. We've been sending them literature and all these things, and we'll go over this letter maybe more tomorrow. And what?
This is from Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Calvary, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I say may the peace and mercy of God abide with you, your family, your ministry, and your co-workers, in the precious name of our Lord. My prayer to you is that God, who lifts you up, will not let you down, in Jesus' name.
Oh, He'll never let me down. He'll never let you down either if you're letting Him live and work in you. All right? If you, because He's greater than everybody, and He's the temple, and so you want to stay in the temple, and He wants to work in you as His temple here on earth. And so it's just a fair exchange, amen?
Amen.
To give up your worthless life for His something life. To give up your nothing life for His eternal life. To give up the things of this world so that you can have everything in the universe. I mean, this is a great deal for me. I'm Jewish, and I can't pass a deal like that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? I'm a Jewish Christian. Amen. What else?
Pastor, I thank you very much for the thousands of your materials sent to me for evangelism. Your materials are winning many souls here in Minna. Every Sunday I distribute them to my church members for evangelism to the extent that some people call me Gabriel Alamo. Sir, through your literature books, my church has begun to increase in numbers by God's grace. However, Pastor, from your book I read that the Alamo Christian Church provides a place to live with all the things necessary for life to those who truly want to serve the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, which I am ready to do. I pray that God Almighty will reward and bless you abundantly in Jesus' name. Pastor, please kindly send me Holy Bibles, about 20 copies of The Messiah, 40 copies of World Newsletters, and Dry Bones, Signs of the Times, Earthquake, and any other literature written by Tony Alamo.
Well, this is get it out to them right away. They probably already have gotten it out, but make sure. Keep feeding the people of the church, amen. So, because they're tending to the Lord's business. They're concerned about human souls, and that's where the love of many has waxed cold in these last days. They don't care about their own children. They're sitting in the churches uncircumcised. You have to be circumcised. The Spirit of God has to enter your spirit into your heart and circumcise it and sow the seed of God, which is Christ in you with the Father. And then you have the power of God in you to overcome the entire everything. More than, it's one thing to be a conqueror, but that makes you more than a conqueror. Amen?
Amen.
So people say, well, there's no one that can live without sinning. The Lord says different than that. That's the devil talking. And if you say, hear people say that the Lord loves you unconditionally, whether you sin or not, that's the devil talking to you. The Lord, with the Lord, everything is conditional. All right?
Amen.
So just do what the Lord says. And remember that he that he that has the seed of God, that has the seed of God is Christ living in you, and you're watering it every day and fertilizing it with the Word of God, that you cannot sin. Okay, so don't let anybody tell you, because no sin can enter the kingdom of heaven. If God threw all the sinners out of heaven, do you think he's going to let any, even one more, come in there? No, He declared war on sin in the kingdom of heaven, disobedience, usurping of authority, not obeying God. He threw Satan and his angels there. God is the God of war against sin. He hates sin. And everyone here on this earth, the Lord said that you cannot serve me and Satan. You can't serve two masters. Now, either choose me and absolutely reject Satan, totally forsake sin and every evil thing on this earth, or just go with him. He gives you the choice. And he says, I'll give you power, I'll give you the work that you do, that I'll do in you will be easy and light, but you're going to have to do what I say. And sometimes it'll seem as though, oh, you're going to be destroyed if you do what I say, but you will not. You will be destroyed if you don't do what I say. And everyone's going to have to fight. Amen? The good fight of faith. All right, then we're just about out of time, so we've got to hurry. We're out of time, actually, but go ahead a little bit more.
Pastor, I beseech you to pray for me that God should keep me alive and take control in Jesus' name.
Well, you have to have faith that he's going to do that. He's going to do that, my friend. You're never going to die. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I look forward to your reply. I say, may the peace of God and the mercy of God abide with you in the name of our Lord. Amen. Thanks, and God bless you. Yours in Christ, Ayindi, from Niger State, Nigeria.
Praise the Lord. All right, now, the peace that passes understanding. You want the one that is greater than the temple to abide in you, to live in you, and you to live in that temple, which is Christ. You want one greater than Jonah, who is symbolic of Christ's resurrection, live in you, because Christ is the resurrection. And then you want one greater than Solomon, that has the wisdom and the power of God in you to minister to the saints and to your own children so they don't fall away and commit suicide and get on drugs and all these things. And also, do you want to be in the Sabbath to be at rest from all your filth and degeneracy and all the violence that hits you, and the ungodly anger? There's a godly anger, but there's an ungodly anger. If you want everything that God has, through Christ, then ask Christ to come into your heart right now by saying this prayer. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says, and your word is true, that all that call upon the name of the Lord, all that come up here to me, the Lord says, I will hear you and answer you, and I will save your soul. Therefore, you know that the Lord is the truth. Therefore, you know he's heard you. Therefore, you know that he's answered you, and you know you're saved. So just raise your hands and thank and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you for giving me the power to not sin again. And Lord, let me keep my eyes on you. And praise the Lord. Now, and just keep praising the Lord and read the Bible, the King James Version. Now, to receive this tape, if you like, is program 141. You can get a tape or a CD. Here's four different ways you can receive it.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
And make sure that you tune in tomorrow, because it just seems like the Lord is really honing in on really how to have God's life living in them, and all the benefits. And so I never know what the Lord is going to do tomorrow, and so make sure you tune in. It'll be part 40 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Amama saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Now just keep praising the Lord and stay in His Word. In Jesus' name, amen.